Hello, listener. Hello, world. Happy New Year. We leave 2016 behind and welcome our new friend, 2017. Will there be New Year cheer on the horizon for your team, or will those football gods decide your team are frauds? Talking about 17, it's NFL Week 17. Lean, mean fighting machines, turning pretenders green. But who's keen to be the team who looks serene, living their playoff dream? In the AFC, is it New England, with home field advantage on their Death Star? Or will Kansas City be the rogues who foil the Patriots' plans? Oakland are surely stumped, and they are well and truly thumped by Trevor. Can Cook deliver a playoff-winning dish on time without his car? Flaunty Monty, all of a sudden, not quite so jaunty. In NFC land, Slow-Mo Romo tries to crank it against the Eagles, but has to watch Dirty Sanchez slip in the doggy-doo as Dallas Rue playing the quarterback few. Elsewhere, Atlanta shatters the fainting Saints, and Green Bay makes the Lions pay. But both can say, way-hey, as playoff berths are clinched. How so? The Giants put the Redskins in a head spin and show Washington fans what quality really does. It just wins. Down in the dark, dank NFL gutter, Cleveland emerges from the grime and slime with that much-coveted number one pick, leaving the Niners sick. And has your team fired its coach yet? Find out all the latest in the carnage that is the NFL end-of-season bloodletting, right here on this season's final Power Rankings show.
Listen. Hello? We go out, we hit people in the mouth.
You play to win the game.
Next fan up.
I want winners.
Featuring Pod Vader and the Superfans.
But they are who we thought they were.
Justin's here, still wearing his Christmas reindeer antlers and nibbling on a chocolate Santa. Happy New Year, Justin. How are you doing?
Happy New Year to you too, Neil. I am doing great. Had a great Christmas season. Had a nice New Year's. And now I'm looking forward to a nice playoffs.
Is Christmas a season? Do you call that? Is that how you call it in America? It's like Thanksgiving season? Christmas season?
Christmas is probably the only one that we give season status to. Because, I mean, for us, we tend to think of Christmas as pretty much everything from the day after Thanksgiving through January 1st.
I'm having the wonderful experience right now, Justin, of having my pen in my hands, and my pen clearly is leaking all over the place. So I'm totally covered in blue ink.
2017, covered in blue. Great start.
Absolutely, yeah. All right. Okay, Justin, we're going to go through our 32, because we weren't here last week, so we'll go 32 to 1. Obviously, there's lots of coaching changes, and I'm counting on you to be having your finger on the pulse of Twitter there to see if anything goes down as we're on this podcast.
I'm on it.
I will try and clean my hands. And number 32, here we go. Number 32 is a change, Justin, because I am sick to death of the Los Angeles Rams, and they're dropped down to number 32. We had a little conversation there just before we started. Why did they sack or fire the coach, 3 weeks ago? They've been paying him for the 3 weeks. They've been paying some interim guy who no doubt got a little boost for his covering the team for 3 weeks. And what have they done? They've done nothing. All we hear is, they're going to have a chat with McDaniels and get an interview with him. And I think you rightly pointed out, they can't speak to anybody anyway during the season. So what was the point?
Yeah, to me, this is almost kind of the coward's way out. Yes, it's uncomfortable if everybody is pretty sure the coach is going to get fired. You're getting paid millions of dollars. Sack up and do it. I mean, come on. You fire him, and I have no problem with firing him, but you do it 3 weeks early, and so then the entire team basically packs it in. You put the special teams coach in charge of it, which if you think maybe he's the guy, I can understand that, but you don't. Mm. You know, you don't have any thought that, you know, maybe this interim coach is going to become the permanent coach. You know, you make this dumb excuse like you're going to start, you know, the job search early, but you're right. All the good coaches are still coaching. They still have jobs. Most of the ones that are getting let go aren't getting let go till the end of the season. Even coaches that, you know, that are kind of around the league are employed elsewhere or in college, things like that. They're not available. So unless you're planning to, you know, do a Craigslist post for a head coach, which might get them a better result, I don't know how this helps you.
Do you think it possibly is because the restaurants in LA, you need to book them 3 or 4 weeks in advance for interviews? Because it seems to be that whenever somebody's getting interviewed, they're out for dinner. I'd love to go on a coaching interview tour. Think of all the free dinners you could get, Justin.
Oh, you know what? You might be on
the other thing with.
I'll bet Jeff Fisher had a per diem of like $40 a day for meals. So at least they get to recoup that.
And if you want some even more sort of bad news for the Rams, is that you're thinking, great, new start. We've got the young quarterback who needs developing. Get an offensive guy for it. And then we'll pick up somebody, the best player available with a really high draft pick, number 5. And what happens? Yeah. Think back to last year, you traded that pick away. And now Tennessee Titans are sitting there with the 5th pick in the draft, and you're not up until the 2nd round. So it doesn't get better.
Yeah, I think that this rank for them at 32 reflects both where they're at right now and just how bleak and depressing their future is. They're terrible now. They're going to be terrible next year. I don't see any hope.
No, if there's hope, it's well down the line, isn't it? The hope. But anyway, LA Rams, at least if you get a new coach and a new start, do something in free agency. And the problem with the Rams, Justin, is I just don't see anything. I don't look at that team and think, oh, well, at least they've got a great offensive line, or, oh, at least their secondary looks terrific. There's nothing there in that team. Nothing.
Yeah, I mean, I like their defensive line, but the rest of the units on that team, they're not just bad, they're awful. I mean, they're terrible at every level. I would argue up through coaching and management and ownership. Just the absolute worst.
And then, I mean, last year in the offseason, didn't they pay Tevin Austin? They paid him a big contract, 40-odd million or 30 million in guarantees. And I don't think he's got anywhere near 1,000 yards from scrimmage in this past season. So it's all bad. All bad at LA. And I could imagine when we start or maybe possibly even this time next year, we may be having them at 32. And you know how bad it is, Justin, when you are below Cleveland in the rankings. Cleveland at number 31. They're up one spot. Looks like Hugh Jackson. Whichever one you want. He's safe going into next year. But the question for them, I guess, starts at quarterback.
It does, but this is a team that I feel, yes, their roster right now probably is worse than the Rams, but they've got a plan. They clearly have a plan. This plan started last offseason, and they're following
it. Jeff Fisher had a plan.
Yes, plan to go 8-8 every year. But, you know, and you can see what they're doing, though. They're accumulating draft picks. They're taking chances on a couple of guys. And some of these guys, are like Terrell Pryor, look to be panning out. So they're a young roster. I forget what the number is, but pretty much every draft pick they made this year is on the team. Most of them are starting. I mean, this is a total rebuild that actually seems to be taking a hold. They've got a long way to go, but they, you know, didn't give away all the draft picks. They actually accumulated a ton. So yeah, I mean, obviously they need these players like quarterback and all these pieces, but I think Hugh Jackson's done an awesome job with by far the worst roster in the league. Even though, you know, we have them right next to each other, I couldn't feel more differently about the Browns versus the Rams at this point.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And it's an interesting one. You mentioned the draft picks. They obviously have the number one overall pick, which I assume they will, well, at this point, you think they would take Myles Garrett. He's a top talent, but really, really good player. And they also have the number 12 pick in the first round, which they got from Philadelphia, which I'm racking my brains, but I'm assuming that was part of the Carson Wentz trade from last year. So they've got, yeah, a couple of early picks, get a couple of players, keep going with the depth that all the other players are getting in their big number of players are going to get in the draft. So, yeah, I agree with you. They're on the way up slowly. At number 30, with the San Francisco 49ers, and here's a team, Justin, who have officially, I think, cleaned house, got rid of Trent Baalke, the general manager, and the great Chip Kelly. He's gone as well, and it's starting again. And I did like Jed York's comment where he said, you can't sack the owner.
Yeah, Jerry Jones is proof of that. But so this is the team that I was talking about, though, where you have two consecutive one-and-done coaches. That means next year they're paying three head coaches their salaries. There's something like $68 million committed in head coaching salaries at this point. Kind of doesn't count against the cap, but that's real money. So you know, you want to talk about what it looks like when you don't have a plan and you're just flailing. This is this team right now. No plan, just going for, you know, whoever they can, grasping at straws. They need a complete rebuild, starting with the front office.
Yeah, they're one of those teams where you also look at the roster and think, well, where's the talent on this team? Okay, maybe the defensive line, they've got invested a couple of high picks there, but otherwise, poof, it really is starting from scratch.
Yeah,
are they going to be in the quarterback hunt again next year?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, Blaine Gabbert is terrible. Colin Kaepernick maybe has a career as a backup in the league at this point. I mean, you know, he had occasional flashes, but you know, he's never going to be the guy. So you need to go, but they need everything. I mean, yeah, pretty 15 teams could use a new quarterback. Some of them, though, can succeed once they get one. The Niners aren't anywhere close to that point.
No, absolutely. Well, they've got the number 2 pick in the draft, and that might be a quarterback. Number 29, we've got the New York Jets, and it appears that Todd Bowles is safe there. But you do wonder, something has to change, doesn't it?
Yeah, these ones are always weird to me where they, you know, 2 years ago, they kind of overperformed. Everybody felt really good. This year was an absolute disaster. I really wonder who's making personnel decisions, because I think it has more to do with that than anything else. Whoever is selecting the players, whether it be Bowles or the GM, seems to have really made some poor decisions lately. And, you know, a team that, you know, has been kind of in that, what you would think would be that rebuilding tier, just signing, you know, older, you know, veteran free agents left and right, committing all their money, all their roster spots rather than developing guys. So what you have now is all your playmakers are honestly getting worse every year. A lot of them are getting more expensive every year. You haven't developed anybody to take their places. So that's just in terms of player development, that's mismanagement 101.
And another thing, of course, which we'll probably hear a lot about in this sort of section of the league, a quarterback issue for them too. Fitzpatrick surely will not be retained, and that leaves them with what, Geno Smith, Bryce Petty, and Hackenberg.
Yeah, I mean, I suppose Bryce Petty's got some potential, but other than that, I mean, yeah, I don't even see them, like, you know, making a run at a guy like a Tony Romo or anything, because they don't have the rest of the roster to you know, turn that into a run. If they're really dedicated to being mediocre, I can see that happening, though, because you have to have a quarterback, and if you don't want to get fired, you want to hopefully at least get to 8-8 or something like that. But I don't know. Here's a team that I don't think they're going to be able to get just an absolute great quarterback talent. And they don't have one on the roster, and the rest of the roster is just getting worse every year, so I don't feel good about them right now.
No, absolutely. Jacksonville Jaguars at number 28. No change for the Jags in the rankings, and you have to, well, I would say Bortles and that offense has looked a little bit better since Gus Bradley left. I know Bradley was your guy, but what do they need to do in the offseason apart from get a head coach, obviously?
Well, I mean, I think that's the biggest thing, and you know, you kind of see these things go back and forth, where a team will go from a defensive coach to an offensive coach to a defensive coach. If you can get somebody who can develop Blake Bortles, I mean, people are really down on him. But going into this year, I was talking about this with Monty. We kind of saw the Jaguars and the Raiders is very similar, and then they took two very divergent trajectories. If you can get somebody who can make, who can rebuild Blake Bortles. And get him on track. That offense has the pieces to be dynamic. And then, you know, I think a, more than anything else, you need a good defensive coordinator, because I feel like this team, the talent on this team is way better than the 28th in the league, which means that as much as I love Gus B, I got to put it on him. You know, if you underperform your talent, I put that on the coaching.
Yeah, no, that's quite right. Just generally looking at all these teams that we've spoken about with the coaching changes always that are coming, some teams above them as well. One of the names that comes up almost for every job is Josh McDaniels. Which team, if you were Josh McDaniels, which team would you look at? Now, we're talking about San Diego, Buffalo, possibly Indianapolis, Jacksonville, San Fran, and L.A., and also Denver as well, of course, but he's been to Denver in the past. Yeah, where would you go?
Denver's a no-go. I mean, I don't know. If I was him, I would almost want to go Indianapolis for the quarterback situation. And that was the one thing that he never got in Denver. And again, you know, I'm not the biggest Andrew Luck fan, but I know a lot of people in the league are. So I could see that being the case. Something like that. Or even Jacksonville, again, where you feel like maybe you've got a quarterback you can work with. You know, if you've got that.
San Diego?
That's a maybe. Although, I mean, I'd say the only thing that would make that not appealing to me is the potential turmoil of a move and all that going on. That would make that, I think, really, really iffy.
So you'd go Indianapolis first, if that becomes available.
If I were McDaniels, probably.
Okay, up to number 27, and we've got Chicago Bears, a team who are looking foxy, like their coach. Again, quarterback is the big issue. We know now that Matt Barkley is not the answer quarterback. We think Jay Cutler is likely on the way out. Not 100% sure about that yet, but surely quarterback is the position they need to work on. We I listened to the podcast yesterday, and you were talking about the wide receiver there, the young lad, the Moncrief, who looks quite good, and also of course Howard, second leading rusher in the NFL this year.
Yeah, this is a team where they've got some young talent. They've got some building blocks, which is really interesting to me. And like the defense is slowly starting to come around. And so even though they definitely did not have a great year, I think most of that is the quarterback position. So this is a situation where I think you maybe could, if you can get a good quarterback there, you can make a pretty substantial change in that team's performance. And but really what they need and what they want is a quarterback who's more of a caretaker. That's really what John Fox is into. Somebody in that Alex Smith mold, right? Somebody who will not turn the ball over. We'll let your running game kind of take over. I think, if a really good offseason gets them to 8-8 with the potential to compete for the division the following year. And I mean, that's not terrible. The wide receiver, by the way, is Cameron Meredith.
Meredith, yeah, not Moncrief. Yeah.
He's a real good player. So, like, between him, Jordan Howard, you've developed young talent there. You just don't have any at the quarterback position.
Yeah, well, hopefully they'll get correct. I quite like the defense as well. Defense looks like there's young pieces there too, in Floyd, and also in Young, the pass rusher, looks quite good there. So fingers crossed, Chicago fans, you'll be out at the top, out into the pretenders section next year. Hopefully, Indianapolis Colts at number 26. And that's probably the first time I've ever heard you say anything positive about Andrew Luck, which was lovely, Justin. It only took you 17 weeks. Surely they have to clean house. Pagano and Gregson can't stay on. I saw Pagano saying that he's no reason to believe that he's not going to be back in 2017. Imagine all the Indianapolis fans throwing things at their televisions at home when he said that.
Yeah, him saying things like that leads me to believe that he spent a little bit more time in Jim Mersey's stash. I mean, that's delusional. This team is terrible. I like basically nothing about this team. They got a couple of nice players like T.Y. Hilton. I said that really their offense actually is pretty good. They have a kind of league average offensive line. They've got a quarterback that they really, really believe in. If you are the Colts and Andrew Luck, and you have the opinion of Andrew Luck that they seem to have, then you must be livid that you're not winning 12 games every year. In which case, burn burn the whole thing down and bring in somebody who can help get you where you want to go.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, I am a fan of Andrew Luck. I think he's a great player, but they're severely underutilizing his talents. It's just a shambles. If they've got a clean house, GM and coach, or else, I don't know, if I was Luck, I'd be asking for a trade. Number 25, we've got the Buffalo Bills, another team with a coaching vacancy. And as we spoke about with the Rams earlier, I mean, you mentioned it yourself. You know, if you're going to sack somebody early in the season and you put somebody in to be the replacement, that's also a bit of a job interview for the guy, or it should be. Whereas the Rams didn't use it for that. The Bills did for this final week or week and a half. Anthony Lynn, isn't it? And will he be the next head coach? And rumors, yeah, if he is, he might take your man Bradley.
Yeah, if you haven't listened to it yet, make sure you listen to yesterday's recap show. We have a really good long conversation with Robert, the Bills superfan, about this. Because it sounds like he's almost certainly going to be the next head coach. It sounds like they're interested in Gus Bradley as defensive coordinator, which I think clearly Gus Bradley was much better in that role than he was as a head coach. And, you know, it'll kind of transform the team back into a scheme a little bit more like the defensive scheme Jim Schwartz ran, which was way, way more successful to him. The big question for them is, like, what do you do with Tyrod Taylor? It sounds like Lynn doesn't like Tyrod, in which case I think there'll be plenty of demand for Tyrod on the open market if they release him. But then you have to figure out what to do at quarterback, and I don't know where you go there. That seems like a really, really difficult situation.
It's always the massive question, isn't it? If you don't like your quarterback, that's fine. But what are you going to do if he's not there?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And you look at this situation and you think, okay, we don't think they've got anybody there. EJ Manuel is, I'm going to be bold here, Justin, and say, I don't believe EJ Manuel is the answer.
Shocker.
Yeah, I know. Edgy stuff.
You heard it here first, folks.
What do? You go to a draft where there's maybe four or five quarterbacks who are nowhere near in the same caliber at this point as a Mariota or a Winston or a Luck, etc. And then you're looking in the free agency market. Who's going to be around? It's going to be Romo. I don't know. I don't see anything better than what they have with Tyrod Taylor. And the other thing I didn't notice so much with Tyrod Taylor, and maybe you touched upon it last night on the podcast, is that I think Tyrod Taylor also adds to your team's running attack, because he is that sort of, like Russell Wilson, you know, that gives you that sort of two-headed monster at running back, which most of the time is just a deception, but still it frees up the defense for you. And I think Taylor does that really well with McCoy there in the backfield.
Yeah, he's a huge contributor to the running game. And so, you know, if you do move on from him, you can't just assume your running game is going to be as dynamic next year. So it's I don't know. I think they're going to be maybe the most interesting team to watch this offseason, see which way they go, because they have a lot of options, and they could have really far-reaching implications.
I have to say, I did let out a little laugh when Rob said Tyrod Taylor's the best quarterback we've had since Drew Bledsoe. I thought to myself, that sounds like Washington. We always say he's the best quarterback we've had since the great Mark Rippon. very sad days for some teams. It's been a long journey.
Mm-hmm.
Well, anyway, Buffalo Bills. Yeah, Buffalo Bills. There we go. There's still a good team in there somewhere, I think. Right, San Diego Chargers, number 24. Again, a team on the lookout for a new head coach, with McCoy being fired last night. And yeah, I think that's an attractive job, Justin. They're the team who have got a lot of talent. And I've got to say, I do love Joey Bosa. What a player he's turning out to be. 11 sacks? And, you know, and he's only played, 10 games? 11 games?
Yeah, you know what? The more you talk about it, the more I think maybe you're right about this being the best situation for something like Josh McDaniels, or the most coveted job available. Not only do you have a team that's that has a lot of good players and is going to return a ton of really good talent from the injured reserve, you do have a quarterback. You've got a top 10 draft pick. You've got sunshine. you know what? This might actually be a really good situation.
But I think you make a good point, though, Justin. I think the question of, you know, what happens to the team in terms of which city is it going to be in? I think that's a big thing too. But I see a lot of talent on this team, an awful lot of talent on this team. So yeah, Rivers has probably got what? Rivers will have two or three more seasons in him yet.
I think at least probably like two or three more really excellent ones than a couple so-so ones.
If you get Melvin Gordon back injury-free for next year, you got Bosa on defense. We've got other one, two other pieces. That cornerback Verrett, he's back next year too from injury.
Oh, yeah, a lot of pieces Keenan there, Allen like coming you see. Back.
Keenan Allen, yeah. You got the seventh selection in the first round. You can get yourself another. Well, maybe not an offensive lineman in this year's draft because there's not so many, but you know, another good defender. I like that job, and like you say, a bit of sunshine too, which McDaniels won't have seen much of up there in New England. Right, number 23, the Minnesota Vikings. And there's a team who, again, don't have a first-round pick because they gave it up for Sam Bradford. And their offensive line is in turmoil, but Adrian Peterson wants to come back.
I'd have to look at the contract details to see how much it'll cost him if they cut him, but I'm sure the Minnesota Vikings really don't want to bring him back at that price for sure. Maybe if he's open to a restructure. But yeah, here's another team though where I think if they haven't fired the head coach, I think they have to. I mean, when the secondary is saying outright, yeah, we ignored the head coach, even though they tried to backpedal later. Fire those players, fire the coaches, and get people who can work together. I am so done with Minnesota right now.
Well, I tell you, I said if anybody can whip that team into shape, it's Adrian Peterson.
Oh man, that's dark.
But also true. I guess we're not going to cover this bit in the podcast, but I was saying it starts with the money. Peterson's 2017 salary is hefty and non-guaranteed. He's expected to count $18 million against the salary cap.
Yeah, no, an aging running back should not be receiving quarterback money.
No, he's getting more than Sam Bradford. Probably Sam Bradford and Bridgewater put together. But no. He also, when he has played this last year or two, he hasn't been anything special. He's kind of gone a little bit, hasn't he?
Yeah, no, he's just Adrian Peterson. He's not AP. He's not All Day. He's just Adrian Peterson.
That's right. Right. Anyway, back to this list here. Better get a move on, Justin. You haven't sent me a message yet, which is really a huge disappointment.
I figured it's implied at this point.
Right. We'll skip through these pretenders fairly quickly. Only a couple to really mention, Justin. These are the teams who just all melt into one ugly brown mess. You stick them all together. Number 22, the Carolina Panthers. And you've got to ask yourself, where do you start rebuilding this team with a quarterback whose pass completion percentage is a mighty 52.7?
Yeah, and honestly, I think running back, with the, you know, they have a high enough draft pick where they can, I think, pick one of the absolute best running backs in this draft. If their running game is working, their offense is working. That's kind of the key for them. So grab a running back and then start rebuilding that defense.
Maybe Leonard Fournette, they're number 8 for them in the draft. Number 21, the Cincinnati Bengals.
Could you imagine Cam Newton running read option with Leonard Fournette? Good luck.
Yeah. Wow. He's just some big specimen that
Leonard Fournette. Both guys are as big as the defensive lineman they'd be like going at.
Yes, indeed. Yeah. It worked for them before. Number 21, the Cincinnati Bengals. And they're one of the teams you would think, yeah, probably up for a bounce back year.
Yeah, if they can avoid the injury bug, they still got a really talented roster. Although, I really question how good their offense is without Hugh Jackson at offensive coordinator.
Yeah, that's been a very noticeable miss for them this season. Maybe they'll get a new offensive coordinator. Number 20, the Philadelphia Eagles. So we've seen Carson Wentz for one entire full season. I believe he played almost every snap for the Philadelphia Eagles. Certainly started every game. He needs weapons, but are you confident that Wentz looks like a quarterback for that team in the long term?
Yeah, I love Carson Wentz. I think he's going to be a really, really good quarterback in this league.
Yeah, I like him too. I think he shows signs in games, little flashes of being a really top player. Good news for Philadelphia. Although they do, of course, get Minnesota's first round pick. So they're still sitting there number 14 in the first round of the draft. And that's surely got to be an offensive weapon. They can't throw the ball to Zach Ertz on every play, can they?
No, although they did this game, it worked okay. But yeah, so taking offensive player there, it sounds like DeSean Jackson is intent on going back to Philadelphia once his contract expires. Yep. If you take an offensive player, get DeSean Jackson back, you suddenly have got some weapons for him.
That's true, and I did mean to say it when we were talking about San Francisco. I was very surprised not to see that Jed York hadn't put out some sort of press story saying that Chip Kelly had some gang ties in Philadelphia. Number 19, we have the Arizona Cardinals. Hovering in around the sort of 19-20 mark for a few weeks now. Big questions about the two biggest players on it, or biggest personalities on the team. Carson Palmer looks like he's coming back, and Bruce Arians also looks like he's coming back. And I think we've spoken in the past about Arians and his health issues. So let's hope the guy's okay for coming back.
Yeah, I'm just going to operate on the assumption that Bruce Arians will be healthy next year. Carson Palmer is a empty husk, carrying the shattered pieces of his former career along with him. So I think they're going to stay pretty bad next year.
Yep, I read an article today that they're considering franchise tagging Chandler Jones to stop him hitting free agency. He seems to have been a bit of a success there, which has been a good trade for them.
Yeah, he had a really good year.
Number 18, Denver Broncos. They're up a few spots. They had a solid win the weekend there over. That was over Oakland, wasn't it? Poor old Oakland. And, of course, the big news there, Gary Kubiak. He is, kudos to the guy. Good move there. He's taken the right path and retired from football. Retires with a Super Bowl, and good luck to him.
Yeah, at least at the time of his retirement, he does retire. I believe has the reigning Super Bowl champion, since we haven't crowned the next one. So that's somewhat going on top. Good for him. He had a good career. I mean, he was clearly the best head coach that the Texans had in their short tenure. Even though it didn't end great, he had some successful years there. And of course, hoisting the Lombardi last year is excellent. But you know, you got to take care of yourself. Your health got to do what's best for you. Denver Broncos, though, interesting team. I mean, you know, an elite defense with some playmakers on offense, but absolutely no quarterback whatsoever. You know, maybe if I were Josh McDaniels and I could get Tony Romo to come with me, I would consider that a nice destination.
They wouldn't take him back, though, after he was coaching there last time, would they?
I don't know. Are you hearing the same rumors about Coughlin to the Jaguars as I am?
Yes.
I think as long as he promises to, under no circumstance, draft Tim Tebow, they might give him another go.
Wonder who this year's Tim Tebow is in the draft. I like the Broncos. I think you're right. They do have a lot of pieces there, but yeah, not sure about the, like you say, the quarterback situation. I'm once you get to my age, Justin, of course, your memory starts to fail you a little bit. But I would imagine that Kubiak also has Super Bowl rings from when he was backing up John Elway.
Oh, you're probably right about that.
He was backup for a number of years, wasn't he? I must check that out. But great career for the guy, stepping out on his own terms, and yeah, no doubt lots of holidays coming up. Lucky guy. Number 17, Tennessee Titans. No change with Tennessee. A team really on the rise, and somebody I'd be expecting if I was picking the winner of the AFC South, isn't it? If I was picking that for next year right now, they would be my number one team.
You know what? I think I'm with you on that one. I think that, you know, they kind of have it all, right? Their defense played pretty solid. Their running game was both Exotic and Smash Mouth as advertised. You know, if Marcus Mariota, you know, heals up just fine. I think they have, in my opinion, they could have the best quarterback in that division as well. So, I really like how the path that they're on.
They also have two early first-round picks coming up. They have the What do they have? They have the 18th, which is their own selection. So I'm picking the top 20. Plus, they have, of course, number 5 from the LA Rams. So chance there to just keep building on what they've done so far. And I'm really impressive. And, you know, we all laughed when the head coach got the job. But he's done pretty well. Impressive.
Yeah.
Baltimore Ravens, they're number 16. They're down one spot. An 8-8 season for Baltimore, Justin. What do we think about Baltimore going into the offseason?
They came very close to winning the division. They came really close to being a terrible team. And I think that 8-8 is pretty much right where they are. Honestly, they have a lot of problems, and those start at the quarterback position. You know, ever since getting that giant contract, Joe Flacco has been at best average, if not slightly below average as a quarterback. They went through 2 offensive coordinators this season. They really need to get that sorted out if they're going to have a shot. I thought the Mike Wallace move was going to pan out better than it did. So I really think that they need to do that. Plus, on the defensive side of the ball, you know, it's still like, you know, Terrell Suggs and a bunch of aging stars. So they're a team that, you know, yes, they nearly won their division, went to the playoffs, but I still think they're just about due for a pretty substantial rebuild.
I can, just going back to Gary Kubiak, I never realized this guy had been in so many Super Bowls. All right, so Kubiak participated in 7 Super Bowls, losing three as a player with the Broncos, winning 3 as an assistant with the Broncos and the San Francisco 49ers, and winning Super Bowl 50 as the head coach of the Broncos.
He's got a nice collection of rings.
So he's got 4 rings. Well, yeah, good job. Time to step away there, Gary. Give somebody else a chance to get a ring.
Right.
Right, then we've got the Houston Texans at number 15, our first playoff team on our list. They're the AFC's number 4 seeded team. Oh, it makes you sick, doesn't it? And hey, playoffs. But there was an interesting story came out in that O'Brien may be on very thin ice if they lose in a disappointing first round playoff exit.
Yeah, I don't know how I feel about that. I mean, we've never seen what his team looks like with competent quarterback play. And we've never seen what it looks like with bad quarterback play. We've only seen with terrible quarterback play, especially in the playoffs. So I don't know. I feel like here's a situation where, you know, if you can be stable, don't spend a ton of money on a Trevor Siemian if you can avoid it. And then, you know, just try and, you know, play it safe at quarterback. This could be, you know, that defense is really good. You take that defense, you add J.J. Watt to it, it can be a really, really good defense. You know, I'd like to see them stay the course for one more year.
Well, we'll see. It's a quarterback situation, isn't it? I mean, Savage, who knows? Who knows? Osweiler. Yeah, it's tough. Tough to see them. It's tough to see them developing much further with the current level of quarterback play. Right, up to number 14, we have the New Orleans Saints. No change for New Orleans. They got pasted by the Falcons, like so many teams this year. And are we going to have an off-season of Sean Payton stories? Please tell me it's not going to happen, Justin.
Oh, it's probably going to happen. We're going to hear about it all year, but nothing's going to happen, and it's going to be incredibly annoying. I mean, I think that, you know, if you're the New Orleans Saints and you do get rid of Sean Payton, then you are suddenly the Eagles longing after Andy Reid, because I think he'll go somewhere else and have tremendous success. The part that he's responsible for the offense is tremendous every year, and that hasn't changed. I mean, you know, say what you will about his choices for like defensive coordinator, things like that. They seem to have finally kind of settled and have improved as this year went on. You know, for the first time in a very long time, they might not have the worst defense in the league next year, especially if they, you know, invest some draft picks there. Not free agent money, draft picks, and develop some players. I don't think they're that far off. I think if they have a mediocre defense, they still have Drew Brees. They still have a dynamic offense, and they can really, really do some awesome stuff.
Drew Brees must have a very sore shoulder. There have been 9 seasons or 9-9 players in NFL history who have thrown for 5,000 yards in a season. And Drew Brees has done it. He's five of them. Five times he's done 5,000 plus yards passing in a season.
Yeah,
only
I mean,
four other guys have done it. Incredible.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think he gets enough mention as amongst the absolute greatest of all time, but I mean, what he's done is unprecedented, and I don't know, people just ignore it, which seems ridiculous to me. But I tend to think his back is probably more sore than his shoulder from carrying the team for these last 5 years.
Of course, we have to always take into account there the change in the NFL where the passing game is more important. But if you take that into account. He is going way and above everybody else who is now playing at that level of passing percentage in the league. So it's just extraordinary. You're right, Justin. What a great, great player. And he's probably been stuck behind the Brady Manning comparisons and competition over the last 10, 15 years. But wow.
If I recall, you know, there was 1 year a few years back where he rewrote like all the record books in terms of most passing yards in a season. Best completion percentage, and that managed to earn him a token, I think, offensive player of the year nod, but not the MVP, because you know, but I believe by rule it had to go to Brady or Manning at the time.
So okay, first game of the regular season next year, Sean Payton is coaching
the Saints.
Okay, there we go. Number 13, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and another team very similar to Tennessee who are shooting up the rankings and have got a very bright future ahead.
Yeah, to me, I barely distinguish the two of those teams from each other. You know, they both have the exciting young quarterbacks that came out at the same year who seem to be developing really nicely. They both have some nice weapons. I mean, Mike Evans is getting better and better every year. They both have good players on defense. You know, this is another team that depending on how their offseason goes, I might be picking them to win the NFC South.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah, with you there. Okay, number 12, the Washington Redskins. They drop out of the playoff picture, of course, yesterday with that horrendous loss to the Giants. But big question for them in the offseason, Justin, it's going to be same as last year, Kirk Cousins. Now, let me just give you some Kirk Cousins stats, first of all. As a starter for Washington, he's 19 wins, 21 losses, and a tie against teams with 9-plus wins in a season. So, you know, the winning teams. He's 2-11. And against teams with 8-plus wins, he's 5-13. Not great figures when you start playing the good teams. But the question I would put to you, Justin, is maybe one we haven't talked about anywhere, is maybe Kirk Cousins doesn't want to stay in Washington.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know much about his relationship with, like, the head coaching and the ownership, but, I mean, he seems to be well-liked in Washington. He seems to have good rapport with his teammates. You know, he seems to be in a good spot. I mean, to me, you know, you mentioned the stats. Yeah, he doesn't win a lot of games against teams with 9-plus wins, but isn't that the whole point of those teams is that they're usually the ones who win kind of regardless? I mean, you know, look at his last game against the Cowboys. Yes, he lost to that team that won more than 9 games. He also put up like 415 yards and like 4 touchdowns. It's not his fault that they lost. Let's put that in the right context.
Yeah, that's a really good point. Under no circumstances is Washington's 8-7-1 record. Does that have to do with bad play from Kirk Cousins? He's carried that team to 8 wins and a tie. The defense has been absolutely horrendous all season long. And from that point of view, we're thankful that Cousins has got us those wins because he's had to drag that team.
So to me, the question is really, you know, how much money is he going to ask for in command? I mean, he can price himself out of Washington. I can see that. But if they give him a reasonable offer and he's being reasonable price-wise, I can't think of any reason why he shouldn't resign there.
I know, but on the other hand, you could take it that he's a bit like Tyrod Taylor saying, hey guys, you don't like me. You're not giving me a contract which is commensurate with my performance. You were a franchise tag me again, so you only like me for another year. I'm not feeling the love, so okay, I'll take the franchise for a year, but I'm out of here. after
that. I don't know how big that franchise is for your second year under the franchise tag nowadays. It's like $27 million. It's not bad.
Yeah. Yes, indeed. Take the money, but I think whenever you see a successful team over the long term, don't you always see a coach and a quarterback or a coach, an owner, or a front office, and a quarterback who are in sync?
Well, not only that, I think what you see is a good front office should be a year ahead of time, right? They should re-sign the player maybe a year early so that his on-the-field performance is better than his contract. And then, you know, let him go maybe a year early so that when he, you know, the performance does crash, they're not paying for it. I mean, if the players, you know, complain about their contracts a little bit, but not like absolutely like hold out and have these huge issues or like skip games, I think your front office is doing an okay job. And so I would rather have seen them, you know, sign him last year for a little bit less money. And then 2 years from now, when he goes from being like the top third to like the bottom third, you're still paying him at that lower rate, despite where his performance is at.
Yep. All right, let's move on, because I'm realizing, Justin, even though I said before the show I wasn't still angry, I'm still angry with Washington. Miami Dolphins at number 11, and you've got to imagine they're going to struggle in the playoffs. AFC, sixth seed team, but Matt Moore's not going to get them very far, is he, in the playoff run?
Oh, they got one and done written all over them. I mean, they just got absolutely annihilated by the Patriots. You know, it's a good story. I think that they made it to the playoffs. I think it gives them some stuff to build off of. It's a great first year. You know, you made it to the playoffs with your first year with a head coach. That's nice. But yeah, they're probably shouldn't get too comfortable.
They're going to Pittsburgh, aren't they?
Oh man, they're going to make a short stop in Pittsburgh.
Yeah, it's going to be in and out of Pittsburgh very fast, I believe.
Yeah, I wouldn't even unpack that luggage when I got there.
that's going to be a difficult game for them to get close. But who knows? Pittsburgh have been a bit Jekyll and Hyde this year at times. Number 10, the Oakland Raiders. And Oakland very similar to Miami. How are Oakland going to get on in the playoffs when they've got Connor Cook at quarterback? Although I do believe, breaking news, they have just signed somebody, Gilbert. Who's he?
I have no idea.
Garrett Gilbert.
Yep, definitely never heard of him. So that should tell you all you need to know.
Maybe they just saw, well, Connor Cook is C for Connor and C for Cook. So we'll go for G for Garrett and G for Gilbert.
I still think if he's healthy, it'll be McGloin, but I don't think it matters. I think without the quarterback, their offense doesn't work. And so they're sadly, with Carr, I think they're a Super Bowl contender. Without him, I think they're one and done.
Yes, no, I think so too. Garrett Gilbert was drafted by the St. Louis Rams, so he couldn't get a game for the Rams or the Patriots or the Lions. That's three teams he's been on.
Now that I'm looking at this, it would be so nice to be an AFC team. You're rolling the playoffs. Oakland has lost their quarterback. Miami lost their quarterback. Houston doesn't have a quarterback. Man, those are some easy playoffs if you're an AFC team. Half the field isn't competitive.
Yep. There's three teams in the AFC, isn't there? Pittsburgh, Kansas City, and New England.
That's why we always see the same teams in the Super Bowl.
Yeah. It's like AFC rubbish. Number 9, the Detroit Lions. And number 8, the Green Bay Packers, they got in last night. Packers as the division champ, and Detroit will take a wild card spot, and they will head off to play some team called the Seattle Supersonics. Sounders? No. Seahawks. Do you know them?
Yeah, they're located in South Alaska. They have a small but mildly interested fan base.
Are you confident, Justin?
I think this is probably the best matchup at the moment. Without Earl Thomas, without Tyler Lockett, confident is a pretty big word. But I feel good.
Yeah, I think you'll beat Detroit. Although I was quite impressed watching Detroit last night. I stayed up and watched most of the game, and Detroit's
No, and Matthew Stafford is terrific, and he's had a terrific year. Yeah. You know, what a great job Jim Bob Cooter has done.
Yep. Is he going to be? I wonder if he'll be a head coach this time next year.
If so, I hope they fire Jim Caldwell and just put him in charge of the Lions.
Indeed, yeah. Okay, so Green Bay at number 8, and they look to be doing okay going forward. We'll see how they get on when they play a decent team. The Giants are going to be playing at Green Bay. That's going to be a real test for them there. And I'm thinking they probably played in the regular season. Would that be right? The Giants and Green Bay.
Ooh, I don't recall off the top of my head.
He played East. Played the teams there. Yep, they played on the 9th of October this past season. And, of course, October was also a time where...
Terrible.
No, the Packers won 23-16.
I think both teams have improved since then.
Yes, definitely. Yeah, that Giants defense played really well last night against Washington.
Really good defense.
So that'll be the matchup this coming week. Number 7, Justin, we're up to number 7 already, the Seattle Seahawks. They're up one spot, and yeah, they're not the same team without young Mr. Thomas.
No, and I think you've seen this in 3 consecutive weeks now. The defense is, you know, I was, you know, all doom and gloom when he went out. The defense is even worse without him. You know, right now what we have is we have two really good linebackers, and 3 really excellent pass rushers, and a good safety. So about half the defense right now is incredibly solid, and half is a little iffy at the moment.
Yeah. Well, you've got to, if you go ahead and beat Detroit, who will that put you up against then? That will put you up against Atlanta.
Yeah, that'll be Atlanta, which is honestly fine by me.
Yeah, we'll see how you cope with Atlanta's passing game. Mm-hmm. Obviously, Julio Jones on Richard Sherman will be a great matchup to watch.
Yeah, it will.
Yeah. Okay, number 6, New York Giants. They're up one spot. We've spoken about them already. They look solid. Look, very good defensively, certainly. And, nobody wants to face the Giants in the playoffs, do they?
No, because this is that team that will either be one and done, get blown out, or will win the Super Bowl. You never know with them.
Well, they certainly own the New England Patriots in the Super Bowl, so I'm sure the Patriots don't want to see them again.
Oh, that would be hilarious, actually. They beat the Patriots again in the Super Bowl.
Yeah, that's right. We wouldn't enjoy that much, would we? Pittsburgh at number 5, and they are, like Green Bay, a team who have slowly improved as the season went on. The 3rd seed in the AFC, and looking to beat the Miami Dolphins this coming week. And yeah, sitting there at number 5, that's probably the 3rd best AFC team at the moment.
Yeah, I expect that they're going to take Miami to the woodshed. I think that, you know, their offense is really dynamic, like we've talked about all year. I think Le'Veon Bell has just gotten better and better every single week. And their defense has slowly improved as well. You know, they've been playing a lot of young guys at the end of last year through the start of this year, and they're finally starting to come around. So they've kind of done a good job of planning to peak at the right time.
Yeah, very much so. Very much so. And Kansas City Chiefs at number 4. It was a toss-up for me there whether the Chiefs should be above Atlanta. I know now, I'm going to say they played each other, didn't they? And one of the teams won by 1 point, but I can't remember which one it was. I think it may have been Kansas City who won the game by a point, but very closely matched teams. They're number 4, and they are waiting as the number 2 seed in the AFC to see who they're going to play the following weekend. So they'll have a week off, which will be good. Well, any team who has a week off, good news.
Yeah, having that bye is so key. You know, at this point, everybody on the team is hurt. You know, everybody's banged up. So getting that week of rest really, really does help. You know, their offense is a lot better than people realize. I think a lot better than people expected. You know, Tyreek Hill has been an absolute find. You know, that great combination of phenomenal football player but terrible human being.
And you know, every time he gets the ball, he's a threat to take it to the house. And so, like, that explosive dimension is something that this team hasn't had. This is very, very much a Super Bowl caliber team right here.
However, Justin, and sorry, Nick, our chief super fan, but we are looking at the coaching staff, who are phenomenal in the regular season, but not quite so hot when it comes to the playoffs. Is it Andy Reid's year to make a deep playoff run?
I mean, even if you're bad in the playoffs, just statistically, when you go to the playoffs as many times, you got to get lucky once, right?
Well, maybe. We'll see. Yeah, obviously, we'll see in the next few weeks. Up at number three, the Atlanta Falcons. And Matt Ryan, surely the MVP this year. And their strongest unit is their passing game.
Oh, by far. I think that the MVP could go several ways. I don't think there's a clear front runner for MVP. I mean, I think you could also make a great case for Aaron Rodgers. Plenty of people will try and make a case for Tom Brady. Some people will make a case for Zeke Elliott. People who are poorly educated will make a case for Dak Prescott. But I think for me, I'm leaning towards Matt Ryan, although to me, Aaron Rodgers is real close behind.
But surely when it comes to just consistency, being consistently good across the entire season, you can't pick Brady because he missed four games. He didn't contribute. And Rodgers also had a number of games in mid-season where he wasn't contributing an awful lot either. I think there was some story about him, was it 9 games or something in a row where he'd had a passer rating below 100?
Yeah, but you know, it's the most valuable player. So when Aaron Rodgers plays well, they absolutely run the table. So that sounds pretty valuable to me.
Yeah. Well, we'll see. That will be coming up. That comes up just before the Super Bowl, doesn't it? That vote. But Atlanta, surely serious contenders for the Super Bowl.
I don't know about that. Their defense is just so poor. You know, their running game sometimes is really hot, sometimes is really mediocre. I mean, they've got a great passing attack. I have a hard time seeing them getting past a team like Dallas. And you know, I see, you know, if they make it to the Super Bowl, somebody like Bill Belichick taking away that passing game, and then they have nothing. So I would say of the top four, to me, they're the least likely to win the Super Bowl. Not to say that they can't. Obviously, they're a great team to be in that position, but I would have them less likely than Kansas City, Pittsburgh, Dallas, or New England probably to win the Super Bowl.
Okay. And so our top two teams are the same as they've been for a number of weeks now. The Dallas Cowboys are number two. The New England Patriots are number one. They're the two number one seeds going into the playoffs. So home field advantage throughout the playoffs for those two guys. And if it was a Super Bowl tomorrow and these were top two seeds made it all the way, Justin, New England or Dallas?
New England, easily. New England has the number one scoring defense in the league. People need to not forget that. Their kind of dink and dunk offense that they run, they run to perfection. They do such a nice job there. And I think you would see Dak Prescott have by far the worst game of his career because Bill Belichick would take away what they do best, which is that running game. They would take away Zeke Elliott and then dare Dak Prescott to win the game. And I don't think he would have a shot.
Yeah, I think that's fair enough. Just the experience of New England, if it came to them against Dallas, that would give them a huge boost, you would imagine.
Mm-hmm.
Just looking to see, Justin, if there's anything breaking on Twitter. I don't see anything. Do you? Have you... Yeah. No, picked up
kind of glancing over as well to see if there's any breaking news, but nothing seems to be cropping up at the moment.
Well, that's good if we can get out of here before that. In terms of our extra point, Justin, there was a terrific play, wasn't there, in the New York Jets and the Buffalo Bills game, where New York had just extended their lead to 23-3 in the fourth quarter. So the kicker Nick Folk, he kicks the ball off, and it lands round about the 15-yard line of Buffalo. And Mike Gillisley, clearly a man who knows that playbook inside out and the rule book inside out, He was a guy that seemed to be responsible for the kick, but he didn't field it. He decided, he's going to let this bounce all the way into the end zone, and surely that will be a touchback, surely. Gillislee sort of stood there looking at it. meanwhile, along comes the Jets' Doug Middleton, the hero of this story, who runs into the end zone, recovers the football, and then jumps up, spikes it, and, hey, I've got a touchdown. Referee signaled touchdown, and, oh, dear, not the greatest look for the Buffalo Bills coaching staff who are looking to get the job.
No, that's the sort of thing that, you know, a high school football player would know better than at the pro level. This is ridiculous. So just so everybody understands the rule, the way it works on a kickoff is if it has both traveled at least 10 yards and touched the ground at least once, it is anybody's football. And that's why onside kicks work, right? Because, you know, you make the football hit the ground, and then once it travels at least 10 yards, anybody can take it. And so this almost became like the longest onside kick of all time and purely accidental. Because that ball traveled, you know, like 60 years in the air, 60 yards in the air, because it went at least 10 yards and hit the ground once, that's anybody's football. That's different from the punt rule where, you know, the other team, you know, they'll let it bounce around, then, you know, the kicking team will put a hand on it and down it. Not how it works on kickoffs. And man, that's got to be in the running for the bonehead play of the year.
Yes, I think, listeners, if you can think of a more bonehead play than that, then you can tweet us at NextFanUp. But it was it is to be seen. Go and look at the video. It is just terrific. And I've got to say, Justin, that would never have happened in the Rex Ryan days.
Nope. If Rex Ryan were coaching, there would not have been enough players on the field to make that play.
Oh, poor old Rex. Poor old Rex. I'm sure he's getting interviewed for a job somewhere, even as we speak.
As a podiatrist, I'm sure.
Yes, I'm not sure what the job is. Yes. Oh, very good, yes. Anything to do with tools. Right, Justin, I think unless you've got anything you want to add tonight?
Nope, that's it. Very, very happy to have been doing this. I'm sad that our power ranks have to come to an end after this week, but sadly teams probably won't be moving up and down that much while they're not playing.
No, but the power rankings will be back, I hope, and I'm sure, listener, you don't get away so lightly, and Justin and I will be back in some form in the new year.
Oh, yeah. Well, we'll be contributing regularly to the normal shows, of course. We just won't have our little pet project.
So, listener, thank you very much. Enjoy the power rankings. Let us know what's good, what's bad, and what's downright ridiculous. And, enjoy the playoffs.
Well, I think we learned today that, this game is four quarters long.
Ah, bloody hell. I was doing so well.